Bart, I've asked you not to whistle that annoying tune.
One of the best pranks that was ever played on me, my friend Daly listed my car at the time on Craigslist for $500. And I got like hundreds of calls and text messages of people being like, I got cash. Can you meet up in the next couple hours? Like, I'll buy it today. Like, it was unbelievable. It took me a while to figure out who did it. But once I did, the only way I got him back was I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I put the wrong number was on the listing. You actually want to call this guy. He's got the car. And I gave them Daly's number. So I did eventually, you know, wrap it back to him, but it was pretty infuriating because I was like out of town. When it happened. So I'm just like waking up to all these phone calls and voicemails. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
That's fantastic. We had an interesting one when Lindsay and I, we first moved in together, and we moved into this little apartment in Oakland, and we'd only been there for a couple of months, and we get a package in the mail that is addressed to me from Borders, not from Amazon, and I've never ordered anything from Borders before. And we open, I was like, this is weird. We open it up, and it's like a My Little Pony puzzle, like a 500-piece My Little Pony puzzle. And we were like, what on earth? So we, like, of course, put the puzzle together. And then, like, I messaged all kinds of people, like, who sent this to me? Nobody, still to this day, nobody's ever fessed up to it. But it has to be somebody I know, because the address, I hadn't changed in any accounts yet. Didn't have an account with Borders, so it wasn't, like, an accidental shipment. Somebody I know had to send it to us.
How many years ago was that?
Oh, man, like 7 years ago now?
Well, hopefully one of your friends is a genius, and they have, like, a 10-year... plan to be like, after 10 years, I'm going to be like, it was me. Like, I hope someone does that.
I have a strong suspicion who it is, but this person has never fessed up to it, even though I've poked and prodded a couple of times. I'm not going to say who this person is, because this person may or may not be listening right now.
Well, I hope. And I'm, you know, keep me posted. I'll be waiting 3 years to learn.
Yeah.
I hope that it is like a long-term joke, that they're just going to be like, aha, gotcha, year 10.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
I have a great plan to get them back, but I can't also let that get out, because mystery is the key in that one.
I'm hoping that when this all comes, I hope there's more to the plan. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave that little bit of mystery, and I say we just roll into an intro. What do you think? Should we do an intro, Brandon?
I mean, is this the intro, or is there an intro?
I mean, I think, what is an intro? And I often, you know, I often wonder, do podcasts even need intros? Like, I mean, it's not a television show. No one's randomly flicking over to this podcast, yet we still intro.
It's true. I always find it interesting when it's like the description of the episode tells you what it is, and then it's like, here's who we're interviewing today. But I guess you got to, because maybe some people just have it on autoplay in the background. So maybe they do need an intro. Maybe like we've like just flipped into somebody's head. They're not even sure who or what this is. They're thinking about shutting the shit down right now.
You know, I don't like, have
I need to listen to some music.
You know, I don't have to do anything. And, being challenged in that way means I'm not going to do it. So what's up, everyone? This is the intro. I'm Warren. He's Brandon.
Hello.
He's the viral sensation. He made the little TV. You know who he is. You know who I am. I'm the guy with the collection.
Be honest. It's great, isn't it? Go ahead and say it's great if you want to.
This is a podcast where we talk about anything related to The Simpsons. We find any opportunity to talk about The Simpsons. How was that? That was good.
That was good. I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like, to the point. We got there.
It's The Simpsons, though. You buried the lead a little bit. It took you a minute for you to say The Simpsons, but I like the suspension. So.
Well, here's what I'll tell everyone, and this is another reason I'm just going to let that be the intro, because this is not a usual episode. One, we're recording this earlier than usual. You can probably tell that by my voice. You can probably tell it by the lack of coffee that Brandon has consumed, the lack of energy that he has. I'm also going to let you all know that where I am in Florida and where Brandon is in Kansas City, it is storming in both places.
It is. Yes.
It is literally storming in both of our locations. And that's probably going to make it into the episode because I, contrary to my own belief, am not God. And I can't tell whatever's causing it to stop, and neither can Brandon. So there's going to be some thunder and possibly some wind in this
just
episode.
Hope
and
we're the internet holds. Let's just hope the internet holds.
Yeah. And so, you know, in the time since the last episode, Brandon had to get home. There's been a lot going on. He's about to go out of town again. So we today's the day we needed to get this episode in for you guys. So weather be damned.
That's right.
Recording play early ball. Be damned. Morning voice be damned, Brandon. We are making an episode today. And I guess I sort of highlighted this in what I just said, but we should also note that we are no longer in person, which is very sad.
It is very sad.
Yeah.
Those were a fun couple episodes.
They were a fun couple episodes. Brandon, are you missing Florida?
I am. Yeah. I miss, obviously miss hanging out and miss going on bird walks and hikes. It's been a little too cold in Kansas City for either of those things. Well, it's not even cold. It's like cold one day and then the next day it's like hot and crazy windy. It's weird.
Yeah.
The thermostat's all messed up here.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is everywhere. Weather's been crazy everywhere. I do want everyone to know that after the last episode, Brandon expressed to me that there were a lot of bird things that he didn't get to say. So if you want more detail on Brandon's bird adventures, feel free to DM him. He'll give you the rundown. Maybe we'll start up a newsletter. We'll start up a sub newsletter about Brandon's bird adventures.
The only reason I don't even like The Simpsons. I'm just trying to slowly turn a podcast into a bird podcast. It's like I'm trying to incept everyone into it. You know,
no,
just a little stop thing here and there.
Brandon, don't you lie to our loyal listeners, okay?
That's right.
All right, let's get professional. You know what? We got to get this thing going here. Brandon and I are making it work one way or another. Before we get too into this episode, I want to let you all know, I mean, I say that as if we're not already like 10 minutes into this thing of us just like talking about scams and, you know, whatever else. But I do want to remind everyone that this episode is brought to you by Brandywine Coffee Roasters, one of my favorite roasters in the country, as I will continue to say because it is true. And I know from speaking to the good people over at Brandywine that a lot of you have used that code and you've gotten yourself some coffee. And I trust that you're loving it.
Well, I mean, it's delicious coffee. So if they got it, they are loving it.
They are loving it. And I would encourage all of you to use that code as much as you want. Continue using the code. Let them know that you're here in the sponsorship. Let them know that you're loving the coffee. Great people over there. They would love to hear that. So right now, I am drinking this delicious yellow honey process blend from Costa Rica. I just sent the same coffee to Brandon. The notes are yellow peach, pineapple, cranberry juice. And this is one of my favorite coffees that I've had from them recently, even though it is a blend, which is like not a bad thing. But it, you know, normally a single origin is what I go for, but this coffee is fantastic. And because we are here to educate, I do want to let everyone know, because you're going to get these coffees, you're going to look at the website, you're going to see like all these different processes. And sometimes those are a little confusing. So you might see this and think, what is a yellow honey process? What that is? And this is a very, I'm going to read this directly from the internet. The coffee seed is removed carefully from the outer fruit with special care taken to leave certain percentages of the mucilage on the seed during drying. Now, doesn't that sound
fantastic?
Mucilage. Yeah, what a word. As a result, the natural sugars from the remaining mucilage will sweeten the final product. The different colors refer to just how much is left on the seed. So yellow being the least, black being the most, and red being right in the middle. So if you see black honey process, yellow honey process, red honey process, that is what that means. And I love the way this tastes. I love the way this turns out. So if you see that on a bag and you're curious, give it a shot. And if you want to give it a shot, go to their website, brandywinecoffeeroasters.com, and use the code DARKNESS, Brandon's favorite code.
Darkness.
And you're going to save 10%. So that's our gift to you. Go save some money on some delicious coffee. Yeah, I don't think you'll be disappointed.
It's funny, every time you say Brandywine, my ears perk up because I think you're about to say Brandon. Brandon Wine.
I love that Brandon somehow, all his voice is almost always gone.
It's, I know, just, it's like, so weird, there. Though. It's so strange because it's like, it's like fate. Like yesterday, I was fine. I was like, woo, just whistling along. And now today, I'm
whistling
like,
along. It's like, yeah, you know, I really like.
I'm like Marge Simpson in the later years, as some people like to point out.
There you go. There you go. Well, that's great.
Bring it all back to the Simpsons.
Hey, come on. So, yeah, go get yourself some coffee. As always, I want to remind all of you to buy my book. And there's a little bonus for this today because I just added some signed copies to my store. Several of you hit me up and said you would love to buy a signed copy. You even asked if you could buy a book from somewhere else and mail it to me to sign it, which I'm totally willing to do. It just gets a little complicated. So if you want a signed copy, the easiest way to get that is to use the link in the description or go to my store through my link tree and buy one. And you can tell me whatever you want it to say. I'll make it out to anyone. I'll make it out to you, your friend Bob at work, your more friend, butts. The girl you have a crush on, whoever it may be. And I will write whatever dumb quote you want. I'll write almost anything. I don't want to say anything because
almost on there
someone would definitely push that, I think. So, So if you want a signed copy of the book, they are available now. I only have so many up there. So go grab one. That would mean a lot to me. And then you get a signed copy of the book. Brandon, you know, this is not our tightest episode, but I think it's going to be a fun one. What are we talking about today?
You know, we're talking about video games.
Video games?
The thing that we were all certain was going to destroy humanity in the early
90s. That is correct. We were going to talk about...
Well, it was two things. It was that and Bart Simpson, the two biggest villains of early 90s culture and society.
Oh my God. Those uptight moms saw the Who the Hell Are You? And they just went into a frenzy. I'm not buying my son this video game. What a bad influence. So we're going to talk about some of the early Simpsons video games today. If you guys enjoy this episode, as always, let us know, and we will do more of them because we couldn't possibly cover all of them in one episode, but we can make this an ongoing series, and we're just going to, you know, sort of give our thoughts about them, talk about, you know, what the game was like, what it's like to play the actual plot of the game, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with, but maybe you're going to learn something today as well.
In the researching, learned some things. I had no idea there were so many Simpsons video games. A lot of them slipped by me, man.
Oh, my God.
Especially in these early years.
There's so many. It'll honestly make your head spin. And, you know, this is not intentionally an additional plug for the book, but we cover every video game in the book. So if video games are, like, your interest, you know, some of this stuff we're going to be talking about today is directly from the book. There's a whole chapter about the video game. So if that encourages you to go buy one of those signed copies, you know, I wouldn't be upset about it. Wouldn't be upset about it at all. Brandon, what is your relationship to those games? I mean, did you play any of these growing up? We're mostly going to be talking about the Nintendo games with a couple bonuses, Nintendo and Super Nintendo. But what's your relationship to those?
For sure. I definitely had a Nintendo and a Super Nintendo, and I played... as we get into it, I'll kind of shout out the ones that I did play, but there were a couple that were really special to me. And, also the first one up is one of my favorite of all times. Absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. What if Brandon just started crying when he said that? He's like, you know, some of these are really special to me.
They're just really special, man.
I'm just like, Brandon, please, tell us what happened. We're going to kick it off with what I would consider, one of the best, which is crazy because it's also like the first true video game of the show. And that is the Simpsons Arcade. I mean, there is no way any of you that are over the age of 35, at some point have not played this in, like, you know, a bar, a bowling alley, a skating rink. When I was a kid, I played the hell out of this thing, in my local, skating rink, and, you know, you put a Simpsons fan in front of a game. I mean, first of all, you put any kid from our generation in front of an arcade where you're just punching, you're going to love it. You put a Simpsons fan in front of a game where you get to do that with Simpsons characters and your brain explodes. So here's the plot for anyone who's not familiar. Nice thunder in the background if you guys can hear that. The game opens with Waylon Smithers attempting to steal a very large diamond from a jewelry shop. The Simpsons family collides with him, sending the diamond flying in the air where it lands in the mouth of Maggie Simpson in place of her pacifier. Smithers then takes Maggie with him, leaving the family to chase after him in search of Maggie. What I will say, even though I love this game so much, probably the worst plot I've ever heard for a video game.
So wacky. It's so wacky. There's so much wackiness in the game altogether. And I think some of it's just because, like, it came out in 1991, which means, yeah, like, they were developing this game really kind of when the first season was still airing.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of the Simpsons culture, a lot of the Simpsons, like, stuff hadn't been set in stone yet, and they didn't know what it was. They were kind of really working off of the Tracy Ullman stuff. So, you know, they kind of took some liberties, but it is amazing how they did nail a lot of the stuff.
They really did.
Yeah.
Visually, the game looks great. Incredible. And I mean, come on, you almost need a premise this wacky. For a game this wacky. I mean, there would be no other way it could make sense. What they're doing in the game would not make sense unless it was something extreme. The only reason I say it's so funny is because why would he kidnap the baby just because of the diamond?
Yeah, why not just take the diamond out?
Take it out of her mouth.
Just take the diamond.
and when you apply it to, like, modern day, like, you could never imagine this scenario playing out at all.
Yeah.
It paints a much different picture of Smithers and Burns, you know, than what we would know as the show went on. But that's part of the charm, right? I think that's like why we still love it. That's why, you know, they arcade one up recently in the last couple of years made the cabinet, because so many people have, you know, so much nostalgia.
Oh man. One of my greatest regrets is, you know, I think it was like 2 years ago that cabinet went on sale, and it was like a huge sale, and we missed it, and I regret it so much, because this arcade game is one of my favorites. I can't walk by this arcade game without throwing $15 a quarters at it.
Oh, I know. Like,
this day, I think I've played it all the way through maybe a dozen times or more, and every time just chuck it. It's a famous quarter eater, this one.
Oh, it is. It is. You really, and I mean, come on, that is like the appeal. So several of you listening probably know this, but I owned a real cabinet for a long time. I played it all the time. I could open it up and like flick the little thing that triggered the quarter going in, so I could just like put endless lives on it or whatever. And it was great, but it was very heavy, very large. My screen needed some adjustment. It had like some color issues. I don't know if it just needed a new monitor or if it just needed some adjustments. I know you could like adjust those things in the back of the cabinet. The key had been lost at some point. Someone was going to have to go in. It just like had such a long life, this thing. It had been owned by several of my friends. It had been kind of passed around. The things that cabinet has seen, I mean, if that thing only had a camera on, I bet it's been in a pizzeria. I bet it's been in a bowling alley. I bet it's been everywhere. You know, I bet this thing has just really seen the world and met a lot of people. So I had it for a long time. I couldn't justify the amount of space that it took up anymore. And I saw the Arcade 1-Up cabinet. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get that cabinet. I'm going to get rid of my original. I'm going to get this cabinet. And, so I did, and I sold it to my friend Dave. Shout out to the Simpsons man, if you're listening. And he came and picked it up, and now it freed up a whole corner in my room. It definitely gave me a lot more space. The RK one up cabinet is much smaller, takes up way less room, so that's fantastic. But I say that to say, like, I've spent a lot of time playing this game on both the real one, the RK one up one. I've played this thing probably more than any other Simpsons game in my life, even though I've played 95% of them. And I do think it deserves that credibility of being like the best one, because it kind of represents that beginning of the show in such a way. There's just something really special about it.
It's got a lot of charm. It has so much charm. For as wacky as it is, it's got a lot of charm.
It really, really does, man. And so let's go over the levels.
Yeah, we're
not going to go into detail. I just wanted to list out the levels for these games, you know, just to sort of, you know, those of you that have played them, so you're like, oh, yeah, I love this one. I love that one. This one obviously starts with Downtown. Then you have Krusty Land. You have the Cemetery, which might be my favorite level because it's just so wacky, fighting the zombies. Moe's Tavern, which is so big. it doesn't really make sense. Like, what large building is this? Then you have the Springfield Natural Forest, or Springfield Butt. Dreamland, which is, again, so bizarre. Like, what an insane thing to put in a game. It's like you're fighting stars and weird, like, moon people. Then you go to the Channel 6 station, which is also huge. And then, of course, you wrap things up at the Springfield Nuclear Power Plant, where you fight Mr. Burns at the end. So, yeah. In a suit of metal.
Giant robot suit.
I mean, again, this game just, it rules, man. It really does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I guess for anybody that hasn't played it, you know, it's a side-scroller beat-em-up, and every sort of world ends in a boss fight.
Yeah.
And some of them are really cool, and some of them are really strange. Like, the Moe's Tavern, you're just fighting this, like, 8-foot-tall drunk guy.
Yeah.
Which is really, really weird. But Krusty Land, you're fighting, like, an inflated Krusty balloon, which is really... The game's wacky.
It is very much, I mean, and this makes sense because they also made stuff for the Ninja Turtles. It feels very much like the kind of thing, it feels like the kind of bosses you would fight in like a Ninja Turtle game. I mean, I've always thought that it's like kind of the world, but kind of not, you know, like you could tell they had to sort of stretch for like, okay, well, who are the enemies in the show? Who would they even fight? So they kind of had to make some people up along the way.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you imagine the game as like a dream, it's perfect.
Yeah. And also, just for Simpsons history, I love that if you're playing as Marge and she gets electrocuted, you can see her skeleton, and she has two bunny ears in her hair, which is a kind of a shout out throwback to Life is Hell, which is fun.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, you know, something that Matt actually planned for the character. I know we've talked about that a couple times, but you know, he thought maybe he would give Marge bunny ears under her hair, like to sort of tie a part of his comic to the show. They quickly abandoned that idea, but it sort of proves that it was a real idea in the fact that we see it in the arcade game, which would be one of the first things they were developing. So I think that's really interesting as just, you know, like you said, Simpsons history in general. I think that's really cool.
It's the best.
So now we'll move on to the NES.
Here we are.
NES, man. We're here. And of course, blow
out your cartridges. Put them in.
Blow them out. We're going to talk about Bart versus the Space Mutants. I have a lot to say about this, but we'll just read the plot first. Aliens have invaded Springfield, and only Bart Simpson knows of their secret plan. Using his special X-ray sunglasses, he has to stop them from collecting items they need to build their ultimate weapon to take over the world. And it should be noted that these things change color in each level. Like, that's the weird part about this game, is that, you know, they keep trying to collect different colored items. I mean, again, this plot makes no sense at all. I know a lot of people have a lot of hate for this game. I have some love, some hate. Brandon, what are your thoughts?
So I've never played this one, but I watched a playthrough of it on YouTube before we did this. Well, first of all, I think it's interesting that the story is basically a ripoff of They Live, if anybody has ever seen that one. I also, for anybody that hasn't played this, when you hear aliens have invaded Springfield, you're going to be thinking of Kang and Kodos. And it is very important to note that this is not Kang and Kodos. Kang and Kodos didn't exist yet, really, when this game was made.
No.
But it is interesting how, like, the aliens show up in twos, like how King and Kodos do, but they look very different.
They do. And I mean, there's some cool Easter eggs. Like, you can make Bart prank call Moe's. Like, they tried. And I mean, let's be honest, a lot of these early NES games were kind of garbage. I mean, let's just be honest. Like, this was an era in video games where you basically just had to trick someone into buying it. Really cool cover art. And then your job was done. It didn't really matter if they liked the game or not. There's a ton of bad games in this era. There's a lot of great games as well. I don't want to pretend that all NES games are bad. That's not what I'm saying. But this is, you know, historically, there were a lot of kind of, you know, rushed and bad games for lots of properties in this time. So, you know, it does have an amazing cover done by Bill Morrison. So
it was also like a interesting time in video games, because video games are so new. we were still figuring out like what the mechanics of a fun game were. So it was a very experimental time. And right. also you add experimental with things being rushed. There's no standards. And you get a lot of weird shit in this era. Sometimes it's like, if you look back on some of these older games, they'll be really clunky and weird, but there'll be interesting ideas in there that maybe, you know, need to be revived in a modern yeah. sort of aesthetic. It'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, you know, graphically, especially when you compare it to like the arcade game, not the strongest performance graphically in this
game.
What
a weird yellow.
Very weird yellow, just all around weird. Should be noted, extremely difficult. So this game is known by a lot of people as being sort of unbeatable. Like, if you polled 1,000 people tomorrow that have played this game, I would estimate that 90% of them would say they never got past the second or third level. Because you start off with very few lives, it is very hard to gain more lives. You basically have to play the game perfectly to beat
it. That's crazy.
And of course, you know, everyone who listens and follows me knows this. I am insane. So I have beaten it.
That's wild.
And dude. I can prove it. I have receipts. I've talked about this on here before, I believe. I do have a video of the ending after I beat it just to prove, because I knew at the time no one would believe me, because the museum level in this game, truthfully, I say this with, you know, I've played a lot of video games in my life. The museum level of this game is one of the hardest levels of any video game I've ever played.
Man, how long did it take you to
I would get to the museum level so many times, because when you're in Krusty Land, there actually is a way to sort of like, you can play some of the carnival games and bank lives, and you basically have to do that, because if you don't, you're fucked. Like, that is like really your only chance at beating the game is to get those extra lives in the third level. But also it should be noted that you can't even get through the levels until you get all the stuff. So like you can't truly complete some of the levels until you do certain things. So a lot of people would get to the end of the first level, and think that that was it. Like they were like, oh, is this the game? I don't know how to move on. Cause there would like be something that they missed or something they forgot to do. So the museum level is like extremely, extremely hard. So I would get to this level and I would die. And I would get to the same point every time. I'd get to the dinosaur. Anyone playing it knows what I mean. Or who has played it knows what I mean. And I would die there and I would get so mad. And I just like couldn't sit on that. So I would like, I'd be like, okay, fine, I'm doing it again. And I was so determined to beat this game, just because so many people talked about how they had not been able to. I would probably sit there for 4 or 5 hours. When this, like, at the peak of this was like, this is when we still lived in an apartment. This is before I even had like a big room for my collection. I was just obsessed with beating this game. And I did. So anyone who's played it knows what a feat that is. I'm not trying to brag, but you understand how hard it is. And you know, again, if you don't believe me, I'll post the video. Or maybe I have posted it. I don't know.
I'm not at all surprised to hear that you like went obsessive into it and then just stayed the course until you beat the game. That
oh, come on, Brandon. Are you exactly saying that's like you. A key part of my personality or something? What are you trying to say? Come on.
Just a friendly observation.
Are you saying that when I like something, I get really, really into it, Brandon? Because, you know, if that's what you're saying, you're correct.
Yeah.
You'd be correct. I guess I didn't even list the levels. So for anyone who hasn't played the game, the names are not exciting. You have Streets, Mall, Krusty Land. They you had to get Krusty Land like every game.
Yeah.
Museum, again, fuck you. And then of course, as usual, you close it out with a nuclear power plant, which is
I'm seeing a theme here.
I will give the game credit for this. The last level is the easiest. And so it's sort of like by the time you get through they knew when they made this game that the museum was impossible. So when you get to the final level, it's kind of like, all right, enjoy this one. Cause it is so much easier than the museum. It's not even funny. So, you know, anyone that, you know, I'm sure there's a million playthroughs of this game online, but if you're the kind of person who loves a challenge, I challenge you to try to beat this game and then let's talk about it.
I'm going to have to go try it now.
Dude, you should. I mean, I'm not going to say that it's great, but there is a, I feel like a better person for having beaten it.
That's where your sense of superiority comes from.
Yeah. I've already made notes to put that on my tombstone. He beat Bart versus the Space Mutants. He has a video if you need to see
it. They have a special cemetery just for the few that have beaten it. Get in, buddy.
and they literally, I will pay to have a little screen next to my tombstone that they can click play on. Kind of like the John Coltrane Memorial.
Oh, yeah.
Where you just like play it and be like, no, look, here's the video. He beat it. Here's the end. And I also was playing it on like a very, I was playing it on like a combo TV that had a VCR.
Oh, cool.
So like in the video, I think so. Maybe the VCR was separate. I can't remember now. But I was playing it on like a pretty old TV. So it was kind of perfect. And I will show that legit. In the video at some point. All right. So there's that. I knew there was a lot to say about that game. And now I just need Brandon to play it.
Yeah, I gotta. There's a bunch of them in here that I'm like putting on my short list of games to play.
And you know, no spoilers, but when I hearing that from Brandon and then knowing the ones he has played makes that even crazier to me. And we'll get to that shortly. But the next one we're going to talk about is Bart versus the World. They thought Space Mutants was frustrating enough that they decided to basically do the same game again. with a different premise, but like very, very similar graphics and controls. Arguably less frustrating than Space Mutants. Like it's a little less infuriating, but it's very, very similar. So the game is set up much like the plot of an episode, with Bart going on the Krusty the Clown show and winning a trip around the world as part of a scavenger hunt. We then find out that Smithers has rigged the contest in order for Mr. Burns to get rid of the Simpsons family. Over the course of the game, you encounter and battle many relatives of Burns from different parts of the world. This plot is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how in these games, it's always like Mr. Burns has to be the villain. So then like Smithers is his like henchman, almost like a Bond villain. And then like the number one henchman. You know?
Well, it's like they really didn't have much to go off of. I mean, it would have been Burns or Nelson at this point. You know, it's like what else? Who else is the evil person? I mean, Sideshow Bob would have been a great candidate.
I think it's also important to note at this point, we're going chronologically in Simpsons games, and we've skipped some Game Boy games. But this, you know, we've listed a handful of games, and you're probably thinking like, oh, we got to be like season 3 of The Simpsons for this many games to come out. We are still in 1991. All of these games came out the same year. It's crazy how many games they were.
It is really insane. So that means these were being developed in season one. Probably pre-season one into season one when these are being developed. So that does, thank you for saying that, because that is an important part of this. These games were an attempt to capitalize on Bartmania.
Yeah.
You know? And video games, of course, were the hottest thing. And so any property, especially a budding property like The Simpsons, which was growing very quickly, you had to have video games because that's just part of it, you know? So they were really cranking them out and they had a lot of ideas. And, you know, I'm sure that it was tough to even get into this market in any sort of meaningful way. And once again, you had to sort of trick people into buying the game by having really cool cover art. And speaking from experience, if I'm a little kid, and I was around this era, and I see Bart on a video game, I want it. I don't care.
Absolutely.
And also, I remember thinking that, because I also played some of these games as a kid, and I remember thinking they were good because I was so brainwashed by my love for The Simpsons. Yeah. Like, I didn't care if the game was bad. I just wanted to, you sort of put yourself in a different headspace as a kid. You're like, oh, I love the Ninja Turtles. I love Bart Simpson. I'm not even really thinking about the mechanics of the game or how good or bad they are.
Well, so, also, you know, it's important to know, like, if you played this when it came out, there wasn't a rich history of video games behind you, like we said. So you didn't have, you know, we didn't know what a great, great game was like. We didn't know what a game that elevates an art form was like. We were like, cool, I can play as Bart Simpson. And that was enough. You know, it didn't have to be great. you know, because we didn't, you know, when you don't know what great is, if you never tasted something delicious, then your dirt's like, wow, this is great.
It's pretty good. Dirt tastes
pretty good. Dirt.
And Brandon, that actually perfectly segues me into something I wanted to bring up. And I wanted to sort of wait until we really got into video game land. But Brandon is speaking from a place of experience. Brandon has been working on a game for a long time. And I want you to talk about that. I want you to sort of, you know, remind people what it's called. I know you've mentioned it. Remind people when they can get it, where they can get it, because I'm excited. I mean, come on, give a round of applause for Brandon, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh my gosh. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
Are you clapping or is that thunder?
Woo. Woo. Let's go. Yeah. So talk about that.
So the last 3 years now, I've been working on a game that's called Penny's Big Breakaway. And it just came out a couple weeks ago, which is super exciting. It's kind of strange that I'm not still working on it, but it's out there in the world. It's on Switch, PlayStation 5, and the new Xbox. And it's kind of a retro platformer. They're calling it like a lost Dreamcast game. It's a 3D platformer, very influenced by sort of, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog, but also a little influenced by Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Wow.
As a 3D platformer, it's pretty cool. It's very bright and poppy and kind of feels like a lost retro, you know, golden nostalgia game that you know, didn't actually happen. So
amazing.
Go check it out and play it. It's fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna put a link to some places to find that in the description of this episode, Brandon. So send me those. And also if it shows anyone you know, what the end of that process was like for Brandon and how busy he's been. I'm hearing right now for the first time that it's actually out. I forgot.
Yep, it's out. It's there. Go get it.
So I'm going to play it today, literally. As you're hearing this episode, I'm playing it. So there you go. I cannot wait. So, yeah, so, you know, I know you all love Brandon, so support, you know, buy this game.
Yeah, go check it out. It's a lot of fun. I've worked, it's me and a team of like, I'd say there's 15 to 20 of us working on the game.
You made it all by yourself, Brandon. Don't
worry. It was all me. I can't take all the credit. No. I was the technical artist. We had a couple of great artists and some great designers and engineers on the game. And it's been cool. You know, it really is a team sort of effort. And I always enjoy sort of working on a project for a really long time with the team. And when you get to the end, there is such a, you know, it has to be what like the Globetrotters feel like when they're on the court, and it's just like we're all like moving quick, passing things back and forth, and you really feel like you're like getting to it. And that's such a cool feeling, and it's cool when it gets out and people are playing it. There's already like people trying to speed run the game, which is fun.
Amazing. Yeah, yeah. What has since it is out, and since I'm learning that now, because I you told me and I completely forgot,
cool,
what is the
you
response
suck,
been,
you know?
Come on, what's the response been like?
It's been great. Yeah, it's been a really positive response. And like I said, there's people setting up like Discord servers to share secrets on how to speed run these levels. And it's been cool. There's like people streaming, playing it. It's kind of a trip to see people like see it out in the wild as opposed to just on my computer screen, you know.
That's so crazy. That's got to feel incredible. I mean, I can only relate through the book, but I know what a process this was for you because you talked to me about it before, and I'm really proud, man. I'm really proud of you for cranking another amazing thing out into the world. Brandon is one of the most talented people I know, and I just gotta give him that moment of glory because I'm just every time I talk to Brandon about like things he does or has done, I feel like he's lying, as I often say, because I'm so impressed.
I'm making it all up.
So yeah, go get the game. It's in the description. That would be awesome. And I didn't even list the levels for Bart vs. the World. So I'll do that before we move on to the next one. They're not exciting again. They are China, the North Pole, Egypt, and Hollywood. So very simple. Only four levels. Very interesting scavenger hunt level-wise, but that's what we got. So
I played this game a ton when I was a kid. I was a huge fan of this game.
Oh, you did play this one a lot.
Yeah, this one I loved. And it was weird coming back to it because I haven't actually like played it since childhood. I have a lot of memories of it. I definitely remember skateboarding down the Great Wall of China as Bart, which is, I thought, a fun level. It was interesting coming back and like, you know, doing the research for this episode and finding out that this game is really poorly reviewed and a lot of people say it sucks, it made me be like, wow, that like what we were talking about a moment ago, like I must have had a really low bar when I was a kid because I loved this game.
I fully believe that, man. I fully believe we were just, we didn't care because we loved Bart so much. So
I think there were some interesting things though, because they like, it is a classic like side-scrolling platformer game, but they had these little mini games between the levels, probably because there's only four levels, you know? Right. And the mini games were fun. One of them was like the little like slide puzzles where it's like an image that's been put out of order and you have to like slide. And I could have played a whole video game of just that as a kid.
it's really fun. And that this game does sort of mark, to me, it marks growth in what they were trying to do. And I think you see influence from what they learned on these first couple of games in the later games, like the puzzles and things like that kind of come back around in a sense. And, I think it's a step in the right direction. I honestly forget that it's reviewed as poorly as it is because to me, like I said, it's less frustrating by a mile than Space Mutants, which was also horribly reviewed. So to me, this one is like a much softer blow.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that, you know, there's people that don't have more love for it, but that's just how it goes in this era.
There was, real quick before we move on, I was watching the, a YouTube playthrough on this, and I decided to like start reading the comments while it was playing. And the top comment I have to read because I related to it so hard. And it also was like a punch in the stomach. It said, "I remember when me and Bart were the same age. Now I'm the same age as Homer."
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh.
time comes for us all, right?
Yes. Yeah, it sure does. One day we'll be as old as Grandpa, hopefully.
You know, and on a similar thing, I saw this floating around the other day where people were talking about, why am I forgetting the name of the movie? One second, leaving this in the podcast.
You got it. I believe in you.
It's Dazed and Confused. I didn't have to grab my phone and look. It is, I saw this thing going around where it was like Dazed and Confused came out in 1993 and it's based on 1976. And if made the same movie now, it'd be based on 2007.
Oh, no.
So let that sink in. If that doesn't make you feel insane, I don't know what will.
Man, yeah, that makes me feel pretty insane.
Yeah, I mean, like, what would a fucking movie about 2007 be like? Like, that doesn't even sound... And the math, even though the math is correct, it does not feel correct. And I just, every time I hear it, I'm like, no. And then I do the math, like, and it's correct.
2007 was, like, the most boring cultural year.
The late aughts in general are very boring. What happened
in 2007? I don't know. It was a weird time in my own personal life, so maybe I'm painting it with that. But
it's, you know, I had some good times, but it is like when I think about my life, that is one of the most interesting and weird times for, I think, culture in general. It was like the late 2000s.
Yeah, there's some strange stuff going on.
But it just doesn't make sense that 1976 and 1993 are the same distance as 2007 and 2024. I just can't.
That's strange.
I know, it's fucking stupid. Anyway, so moving on, and this is one that we were not going to talk about today, but Brandon called in a favor and was like, "Can we please talk about this one?" So we're veering off the consoles just a bit and going over to Bart's House of Weirdness. Now, this might surprise all of you. I have never played this.
A lot of people have never played this, man.
That seems to be the consensus, that a lot of people don't even know it exists.
Yeah, yeah. And part of that is because, like you said, it's not an NES game. It wasn't a Game Boy game. It was only available on DOS, which was such a weird move because the publisher had published games, you know, on... It was Konami. They had done the NES games and they had done an arcade game, you know? So it was a weird move for them to make it... And as a DOS game, and also in the time, it was a DOS game that wasn't wildly compatible with most computers. You had to have a special video card to even play this game, and most people didn't have it. So it was doomed from the outset to just be obscure.
Well, here's the other thing, and I'm actually going to let you read the plot in a second because this is your you are the expert on this one. But I think if I had to theorize, I think this is one of the only things Konami made for The Simpsons, because Acclaim made a lot of the other things. So I wonder if Konami like wanted to release it on console and Acclaim had some sort of contract keeping them from doing that.
Maybe. Konami did do the arcade game though.
I'm pretty sure the arcade game is Acclaim, is it not? Am I crazy?
I think it's Konami. Yeah, maybe. It is for sure.
Oh, you're right. You're right. It is. So never mind, Brandon. No, actually that would still stand up to the console theory.
I just want that to be noted. Wasn't 80% right on that one. I was 100% right on that one.
Brandon hit an unusual bullseye on that one. It is. I wonder if that's why. I wonder if Acclaim had some sort of like console.
They might have had exclusivity with Nintendo. Yeah. I bet you're right. That sounds correct. Because it's such a weird thing, because Konami at this time was releasing Nintendo games, but not Simpsons Nintendo games.
Yeah, so. Very strange. I wonder how that contract worked out. So read this plot, Brandon.
Oh, yeah. So Bart is grounded by Homer and Marge and decides to escape. Along the way, he helps Maggie, explores the basement, goes to the movies, as well as the Springfield Mall. Classic location. After leaving the house, he goes around Springfield and eventually to an amusement park where he saves Krusty the Clown. It's a lot of the elements that are in all the games. You got the mall, you got Krusty the Clown, amusement parks.
Yeah. It's I mean, again, I have known, obviously as a collector, I've known about this game for the past, for a long time. But when I was a kid, I had no idea this existed. I never had any friends that talked about it. I never knew anyone who played it. And I remember when I discovered this game, probably 10 or 12 years ago was the first time it really was on my radar. I almost thought it was not made up, but I was like, is this some sort of like import, like some sort of like, a game that wasn't released in America? Or I just had no idea that it existed. So what is it like? What is the gameplay like?
It's kind of fun. It is notoriously also a very hard game. Like a lot of these early games, I think it's really fun. I've played it as an adult. I did not play it as a child. Okay. I want to get that out there. But you can play it now. There's still, people listening. There's ways to play this game now. There's a thing called DOSBox, which allows you to play old DOS games. So you can download and play things, which is really fun. The reason I wanted to bring it up is because like this is the first game that nails the color palette of The Simpsons, as well as like it really nails the art style, I think. Like,
wow.
When the game opens, it is like the opening to an episode of The Simpsons. You have the Simpsons fades in, and it even plays the opening, the panning to the school, Bart's writing on the chalkboard, Marge is at the grocery store, couch gag, then the game begins. And it's pretty wild, It's like, really, they were trying to make a playable episode of The Simpsons. And it was sort of the first time it really felt like it had happened, which I think is notable.
Wow.
One of the other things is the music in the game. If anybody that's into like 8-bit video game music, the music in this game is fantastic.
Man.
You could customize the music that you were listening to. It was kind of a hidden feature in the game. You start off in Bart's room, and laying on his dresser is a tape player and a headset. And if you walk over to the tape player and the headset, you can choose the music for the game. And there's like a rap version of the Simpsons theme that is it's like it's very like Run DMC rap version of the Simpsons.
Man,
and it is so good.
Look, man, if you just want to tell everyone that I'm a fraud for not having played this game, Brandon, just come out and say it, okay? Because I agree. I think it's insane that I've known about this game for this long and have never found a way to play. I think, it's one of those things where I wanted to buy a physical copy, but you don't really see them often at all.
I was going
to
ask you if you had a physical copy of it.
It's the only game that I don't own a physical copy of. And I think it's just because you hardly ever see it. And at the time, I was like, well, I wouldn't be able to play it anyway, so I'll get it later. And it just kind of one of those things that fell further and further down the list. Again, great artwork. And also, my favorite level titles of any of the games we're going to talk about today, because They named them as if they were like episodes or songs. So we have, I Want to Go to the Movies, The Quest for Maggie's Ball. I love how specific that is. Grave Danger in the Basement. The Secret of the Attic. Space Mutant Madness. Too Much TV and Adventures in Krustyland. Now, I swear to God, this sounds like a Simpsons-themed band.
Yeah.
It sounds like their EP because totally. It's like it's the best names of any level.
Or like a half a season of The Simpsons.
Yeah. Mini season of the Simpsons. So,
yeah.
You know, I've seen some playthroughs. I've like watched some playthrough of this game, and it does look really fun. You got to think that if it had been an arcade or had been on Super Nintendo or something, it would have been, you know, a hit. It would have been bigger than a lot of the stuff we're talking about. Clearly, from your experience, it's a step up from the Nintendo games big time.
Yeah, in terms of visual quality and just, I mean, visual and audio quality, it really feels Simpsons-y, you know?
Awesome.
I think it does the most, because the NES games we've talked about so far are, you know, it feels very much like, oh, this is a product. Somebody's slapping The Simpsons on a thing, and we're about to really get to that. But
oh, yeah.
It feels like somebody's slapping The Simpsons on a thing, and it feels a little off. It almost feels like a bootleg, you know?
Yeah.
Bart versus the World feels like a bootleg Simpsons game. The colors are off. Bart's not on model. We didn't even have model yet, you know?
Yeah.
It's just weird. It
definitely feels very weird, and you are not wrong. Once again, Brandon is an expert on this. Listen to him. He's worked on actual video games, so you have to trust him. These next two are the shining example of slapping The Simpsons on another property. So this next one is Krusty's Funhouse. This came out on NES as well. This was also released as Super Krusty's Funhouse or Krusty's Super Funhouse, something like that, on Super Nintendo. So it came out on both, consoles. The plot is Krusty makes his way through a Krusty brand funhouse, attempting to exterminate pests by leading them through complicated maze-like levels and into traps. Various creatures attempt to complicate Krusty's progress by injuring him. The game also features appearances from Bart, Homer, Corporal Punishment, and Sideshow Mel.
Corporal Punishment is so great.
I mean, look, this game is fun. It is, you know, if you like a puzzle game, it's a very fun game. It is not a Simpsons game.
No.
It does not feel like a Simpsons game at all, other than the fact that you see Krusty and you see the occasional Simpsons character. And it was literally and factually a reskinned game called Mousetrap.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, you know, this was something, I mean, look, we saw this in more popular games. Like, everyone knows that Super Mario Brothers 2 is a skinned over game of something else. Which I forget the name of, and that's why it is so different from every other Mario game. And it's because what was supposed to be Mario 2 was considered too difficult, for American players. And so they were like, okay, well, we got to do something else. This is way too hard. No one's going to like this. So they bought the rights to another game, turned it into a Mario game. It's a fun game. It is my least favorite Mario game. And, so this happened
Actually my favorite Mario
Stop
game.
Stop it, Brandon. Do you think Mario 2 is the best?
Mario 3. Well, if we're talking NES games, Mario 3 is easily the best.
As soon as you
get the squirrel suit, it's all over. That's the way, like one of the greatest feelings ever.
You scared me for a second. I think Super Mario Brothers 3 is far and away the best Mario game.
Also, it was the first one that had like a world map, and the world map was so, like, I remember the first time I saw the world map, I was like, what, video games can do this?
I know.
You know, it's just like this whole meta universe thing was pretty crazy.
True story, I like most Mario games. I love a lot of the ones on the Wii. You know, I even current modern day Mario games are very fun. I think it's, you know, goes without saying, one of the best properties ever.
Yeah, so. I mean, Mario's fantastic. He's just the best.
Come on.
But back to Krusty's Funhouse. this whole like reskinning thing was pretty common in the early days of video games. You know, video games were hard to make. There weren't dev kits like there are now. There weren't engines that were widely supported. every studio kind of was building games from scratch, and it takes a lot of resources and a lot of manpower to do. So, you know, when a nice contract like The Simpsons comes on, you just say, well, what can we do? Let's just change some graphics out and
I commend them for being brave enough to make a Simpsons game that is not about Bart or Homer or someone from the, you know, I'm not sure what made them decide to make it crusty and not. I mean, I don't actually know how well. I mean, I most people say this game is fun. I think if you read reviews of this game, even from the time, people will say it's a fun game to play, whether they criticize it or not.
I haven't played it either.
But if you go back, like, I'm shocked that they were like, oh, let's make it crusty. Like, it just seems like the same game is so obviously not a normal Simpsons game. Most people would be more likely to buy it if it were Bart or someone from the family. Or, I don't know, call me crazy, let you pick your character. I mean, for God's sake, like, why couldn't you just be like, oh, I want to be Homer. I want to be Marge. Like, that would have made so much more sense. Because I mean, I can only assume that the attempt was for it to make some sort of sense by being crusty, but the game already doesn't make sense as a Simpsons game, so there's no real reason to do that. So the fact that this game did well enough that they were like, oh, put it out on Super Nintendo also, is crazy.
It is.
But yeah, you need to play it, Brandon. See if you can download that for your DOSBox. Oh, no, yeah, I guess it wouldn't be DOSBox. It would be an emulator.
Yeah, an emulator of some kind.
It is fun. I've obviously, I own both versions. I've played both versions. There's not really any differences between them. One just looks a little nicer. But it is fun. Yeah. Okay. I got a lot to say about this next one, Brandon. I'm actually going to let you, I'm going to let you read the plot for this. This is Bartman meets Radioactive Man.
When Radioactive Man is imprisoned in the Limbo Zone, Bart must save his crimson-clad hero by becoming Bartman. He has to fight Radioactive Man's foes while collecting his stolen power and returning them to Radioactive Man. That's a pretty solid premise.
It is. On paper, this is the best idea for a Simpsons game. This is, man, if you made the same exact plot, again, as an arcade, as a Super Nintendo game, as a PlayStation game, like, this would be, like, if they made a modern version of this, it'd be one of the most fun games ever. If you did, like, a Ninja Turtle style game, or even a Simpsons arcade, like the original Simpsons arcade style game of this premise, oh my God, this makes my head spin at how fun this should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it fucking sucks.
Does it?
Oh, no. It is so bad. I'm sure I'm going to get some emails about this, but I would rather play Bart versus the Space Mutants. I would rather play Krusty's Funhouse. I would rather play any Simpsons game. I'd probably rather play Simpsons Wrestling, okay? than play, and that game is also awful too. We'll talk about that in another episode. But this, you know, it's such a missed opportunity. And I also, I should have written this down, but I forgot. This was something I was going to come back and add. But this was also, if I'm not mistaken, a skinned over game. Mm. I almost want to say that it was like some game that was attempting to be like kind of like a Mega Man style game. It was like some game that was like going to attempt to
looking
cash
at the
in on
screenshot,
that.
It kind of looks that way. It's very
and then the Simpsons
Mega-man-y.
Like got it and skinned it over. And I'm sure, without digging too deep, I'm sure that they decided to make it about Bartman because of the level setup, because that was easier to explain why he's in like, you know, all these weird levels. But again, it's such a good idea. The art is incredible. And what's even more incredible is that this game sells for a lot of money. It's actually very rare.
Really?
I'm sure it's gone down some. And I haven't looked in a while because I've owned a copy for a long time. But finding a copy in the box, at one point you would be spending like $200.
Whoa.
Even for like not a sealed one, like just a decent copy in the original box.
Good shape box.
Yeah, they were like expensive as hell. Man. Now, my theory on that is that kids got blinded by rage and just destroyed them. because it's a very difficult game that's not that fun.
That's too bad. That's too bad. Because, I mean, like, all the ingredients are there. And, like, Bartman is such a great subject for a video game.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Who doesn't love Bartman?
And we're going to, you know, I'll come back. I'll kind of circle back to this when we talk about one of the next games because it just shows you what could have been. But I'll read the levels for this. And if there's anyone out there who has has love for this game, I would love to hear from you because I want to know why.
I want to know what's wrong with you.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, I would just love to hear your story because, and the same goes for any of these games. Like if you played House of Weirdness as a kid, if you have strong, memories of playing this and, you know, any of these games, we'd love to hear from you. We'll talk about it in one of the next episodes if you have thoughts. But this game just like, I don't know, based on what it could be, I think it's such a disappointment. And so it's always kind of made me mad, especially since I, you know, as a kid didn't play it. I didn't play it till I was an adult. This one kind of missed me. And as an adult, you know, like I said, it was a pricey game. I assumed it's because it was good.
Yeah.
Or it was sought after for a reason. And it's like, no, it's just, I probably didn't sell well. So there's probably not many copies.
It's the E.T. of The Simpsons.
Exactly. So here are the levels. We do have some good names here. I kind of forgot how good these names were. I will give credit to them. Swamp Hag's Junkyard of Doom. The Waterlogged Lair of Dr. Crab. 20,000 Miles Under the Earth. Braino the Magnificent, which is less of a level and more of a boss, but it is like kind of listed as a level. And then if you do everything just right, which is very hard to do, you get a bonus level. Called the Limbo Zone. And to get this level, you have to collect every planet icon from every other level.
Wow.
And
it's like a hidden track.
Yeah. And I've never beaten this game because it's just too frustrating. I did not have the same experience as I had with Space Mutants where I was determined to beat it. This one, I was like, if I continue trying to beat this, I'm going to like smash my entire system.
So, I don't know, Warren. I think you still got it in you. You should.
No.
No, I think you do.
I full disclosure, I don't even still own my Nintendo. So
because you destroyed it trying to play this game. You hit it with a giant hammer.
Yeah, I sold it, air quotes.
sold it to the afterlife.
Threw it out of my window. But no, this is, did you watch any playthrough of this, Brandon?
Yeah, I did. I definitely watched some playthroughs and like, it's when you're watching a playthrough, you're not playing the game, so you don't get that feeling of frustration. It kind of lifted my heart just to see Bartman in an early graphic. And there was another thing I thought was really funny, and this is just such a sign of early video games, was the 2,000 miles under the surface of the earth. It's like underground underwater level. And it is so like the classic video game trope. Like the music's all like,
I know.
You know, like we're underground, we're underwater.
I would honestly compare this game. I mean, it is very, it's of the era. Like,
yeah.
Imagine a less good Mario 1.
Yeah. That's what it felt like. Just watching the playthrough anyway.
Yeah. And a Mario 1 that is devout of almost any charm and way too hard.
Yeah.
And you get this game. I want it to be good so bad. Again, I will stress this. It is my favorite plot. It could be so good. And I challenge anyone, make this game, but good.
Yeah.
Please. Brandon, you up for it?
Let's do it. Let's start. Okay. I got to go.
let's do it, man. I will let you do all the work and I will just be there for support. All right. Well, let's move on.
So we're in Super Nintendo land.
We're in Super Nintendo land, dude.
I think we should mention like for those that maybe didn't exist during this time. The jump from Nintendo to Super Nintendo was earth-shattering.
Insane.
It was insane. Not just in terms of visual quality, audio quality, but also games just played smoother. They felt more elastic, if that makes any sense. It really felt, you know, early, they weren't clunky or as rigid. It was just like, I remember the first time I plugged into the Super Nintendo, it was just like, I was like, you can't ever get any better than this. You
right. know? Man, I agree. I totally agree. As a kid, when we got a Super Nintendo, I could have also just thrown my Nintendo away. I was like, oh, I never need to play this thing again.
Yeah.
This is like a real turning point for just video games in general. So, and the same can be said for Simpsons games tenfold. The jump in quality when you get to Super Nintendo Simpsons games is night and day. So for Bart's Nightmare, in this game, Bart falls asleep while studying, leading him into a strange universe in his dream state. It's here that Bart tries to catch up on his homework, opening up a series of portals to different levels where he can transform into Bartman, Indiana Jones, or Godzilla, and even battles diseases within his own bloodstream.
That's crazy.
This game is so fun. This is like the first one that we've talked about other than the arcade game that I strongly recommend to everyone listening if you haven't played it.
I actually haven't played this one, so I should go play it.
Oh my God.
It looks so fun just from the screenshots and the video I watched of it. It's so weird and just, it looks great.
Now, again, this plot is not as good as Bartman Meets Radioactive Man, but it is also very interesting. Like, this is like, it's honestly like too good of an idea for a Simpsons game. Because it's not wacky. I mean, it is wacky, but it's also just, it's cool. Like, it's all happening within a dream state. Which I mean, I just love that idea. I love that it's all, you know, and it also, what sets it apart from any game that I can think of offhand is that the order you play it in is completely random.
Whoa, that's cool.
Like, you don't have to play the levels in a certain order. It is difficult. It's not the easiest game to beat, but it also, because the levels are non-sequential, you can kind of get the full experience without quote unquote beating the game, which again makes it a lot more fun to play. So I'm going to go into a little more detail about these levels than I've gone into detail about any other game, just because they're like so wildly specific and because they're just colored doors. So if I just read you the colors of the doors, it'll make no sense. So, up first, we have the blue door. And again, you can end up playing these in any order, but in the blue door, you have Bartman. Now, this is what Bartman Meets Radioactive Man should have been, because this level is so fucking fun. It is my favorite level in the game. It's one of the most fun levels of any of the games we've talked about today. So Bartman, where Bart flies over Springfield as a superhero. Along the way, he fights many bosses, including Sherry and Terry in hot air balloons, Barney Gumble on a pink elephant, Waylon Smithers in a blimp, you face him twice, and eventually Mr. Burns in a biplane. Besides the enemies, Bart must avoid clouds of radioactive gas, but also receives soda bottles from Apu on a magic carpet in this level, which serve to raise his energy bar.
That's amazing.
Now, that's just, I mean, come on. That's what I want. That's a video game that I want to play. And I wish it were the whole game. And I wish it was, you know, what Bartman Meets Radioactive was. it's so good. Brandon, do you want to read the yellow door?
Yeah, yellow door. Itchy and Scratchy, where Bart is being attacked by the team-up duo, as well as various other household objects that become enemies. The oven shoots fire, the telephone explodes, the picture in the hallway drops eyeballs, and more. That sounds so fun. This is the only mini game divided in two. Bart must play one half first and then the other half next.
I mean, again, you are immersed in like Itchy and Scratchy's world. It's awesome. It's really, really good. Then we have the violet door. A journey into Bart's bloodstream, where Bart must use an air pump to inflate and destroy germs. After collecting 5 atoms when the page is visible, the player wins. This minigame has a cameo appearance from Smilin' Joe Fishin, a character from the first season episode Homer's Odyssey.
That's so great.
So, so good. Brandon, read the orange door.
Orange door, Indiana Bart, where Bart must make through... Indiana Bart, where Bart must make through the balancing columns in the Temple of Maggie. I love that. He can use his whip to take out the demons who appear in his path, and the golden eggs will give him an extra chance to reach the valuable prize at the end.
The hardest level.
Is it?
Out of all of them. Yeah, it's very, very hard. It is the only one that I really struggle to beat. And I think it might be the only one I haven't beaten in all the times I've played the game, because as you're sort of jumping around, the different like things that you're standing on fall out from under you sometimes. So it's just, there's a lot going on. It is definitely like the more difficult one. And then we have arguably the most fun, Bartzilla, which is the green door, where Bart must stomp through the streets of Springfield and destroy the army with fiery breath and visual lasers. After being zapped by a shrink ray, Bart climbs the Springfield State Building and fights Homer Kong and Momthra, but must avoid being hit by falling objects and climbing onto the building, or he will get zapped by a UFO and it's game over.
That's fantastic. These concepts are so like rich with detail. So much like, there's so many like little puns, some little like visual gags. It's just like a really, like there was a lot of thought was put into each of these little, it's almost like four different games in one, you know? Yeah. It's fantastic.
And, you know, I haven't said this five times yet, so I'll say it now. This is what Bart Mimi's Radioactive Man could have been.
What do you think Bartman versus Radioactive Man could have been?
You know, thank you for asking, Brandon, because we haven't talked about that. I think Bart's Nightmare, the blue door level, could have been what Bart's Mammy... Bartman's... God damn it. It's really hard to say fast. This is, in my opinion, the first game other than the arcade, and I guess apparently other than House of Weirdness, where they really figured some shit out and made a good game.
Yeah.
I haven't dug too deep on like the overall opinion of this game, but I feel like it has to be pretty beloved, because most people I've talked to love this game and have fond memories of it and still enjoy playing it. So there you go.
I'm going to have to play it.
You're going to have to play it, Brandon. When we come back and do more games, I'm going to ask Brandon for updates if he's played any of these. That's going to be on the list.
Homework. I like it.
I love it. So we have one more, Brandon, one more to talk about today.
I'm excited about this one.
And then we're going to wrap it up. And again, I will remind you all, if you enjoy this, you know, send us an email. We'll probably do another one anyway. I don't really need you to tell me to do it, but it would be nice to hear that you want me to do it.
Yeah.
So reach out, send us an email. So lastly, and this, you know, it's not the most exciting one to go out on, but we have Virtual Bart.
Virtual. I'm excited to talk about this one.
Okay. Damn. Yeah, all right. Well, read that plot for me, Brandon.
This story sees Bart at the school science fair, where he becomes trapped in a virtual reality experiment. The only way to escape the machine is to complete all the games on the will. So this is a very, very loose knockoff of The Lawnmower Man by Stephen King. Which was later a movie with Pierce Brosnan, which is awful, but in a glorious sort of way.
Man, has anyone led to more bad and also good movies than Stephen King? I don't know.
No. He's responsible for so many wonderful horrors, both in terms of tragic, bad movies and actual horror.
I love it. So you played this game, Brandon.
Yeah, and that's kind of like why I'm excited to talk about it, is I played it. I've never beat it. This was a game I never owned. I gathered around kids and listened to Grandpa Brandon tell a story. When you were young, you know, video games are expensive. You couldn't download them. You had to either buy them or rent them. And this game I rented. You go to the video store, you rent it for 3 days, and you hope that you can beat it in those 3 days. Usually during summertime, you're just drinking Mountain Dew and playing the game all night, you know?
Yeah, and I want to chime in here for those listening, any of you that are below the age of 30. There was a time where you couldn't stream movies and you couldn't buy video games on the internet.
Yeah,
believe it or not, there was a time where you had to go physically buy them at the store.
Yeah,
Or rent them, as Brandon said.
It
doesn't seem that long ago.
Yeah. But it's crazy. You also couldn't buy them and have a person deliver them to you.
No, you were
doing all your own legwork.
I've never felt old on this podcast until right now. So thank you, Brandon.
Yes, you're welcome, dude. So I rented this game one summer and played it, and I couldn't make it through. But I was, for whatever reason, I think it was the Bart riding a motorcycle level really captured my imagination. So I was like obsessed with this game. So it was like, we had to return it to the video store. I was very sad. I was like, well, I'm going to rent that game. I'm going to rent that fucker again. And every time I went back to the video store, it was out. Somebody else was renting it. So it was really popular in my little town in Kentucky for whatever reason. And I never got a chance to play it again. Every time I got to the video store, I went right up to the box and it wasn't there. You know, they would put the game behind the box if you could check it out, and it wasn't there. And every time I was like, no, I guess I'm renting Battletoads again or Earthworm Jim or some shit, you know?
Battletoads, another game that I beat that no one believes me.
I don't believe that.
I did. Dude, I did. I don't think I could do it now, but I did it I did it when I was younger.
That game was hard, man.
It's so hard. So fun, though. I shouldn't disparage Virtual Bart and say, like, oh, it's not an exciting one to go out on. That's not really fair. It is a charming game that is also very fun. I think when you compare it directly to Bart's Nightmare, it's like just the less exciting of the two to me.
Yeah.
And they're also very similar. So it just feels like a weaker version
of
Bart's Nightmare. However, for someone like you to have played this and not Bart's Nightmare and have such fond memories of it says a lot, which is proof that Bart's Nightmare would blow your fucking mind. but it is a very fun game. And I do, you know, again, you know, we talked about like puzzles and stuff earlier in Bart versus the World. This and Bart's Nightmare are interesting because they are, again, they're not sequential. You don't have to play them in a particular order. And that was kind of a new concept for a video game. Like, I can't really think of a lot of games that were like that, where you just kind of played them in a random order. And I think that's cool. And, you know, I do think these are very fun. the level titles are very boring. Dinosaur, Baby, Pig, Water Slide, which is probably the hardest to me. Vandal, which is Brandon's favorite. Oh, no, Post-Apocalypse would be your favorite.
Yeah, that's
Vandal is where he throws the tomatoes, I believe.
But I also really love that one just because, you know, that captures the spirit of Bart the most, I think. You know, throwing a tomato at Principal Skinner, it doesn't get any more Bart than that.
It's true. I was a big fan of the Beavis and Butthead game. As a kid, that's a game that I played.
That game was rad.
I'm amazed that game still worked because I played it so much. Like, that's I must have beat that game like 25 times. I just loved it so much. It was so fun. And to me, I would recommend Virtual Bart and Bart's Nightmare to anyone who liked that game. Not to say that they're the same, but I think they have a similar appeal.
Yeah.
And they are sort of, you know, there's like little extra stuff throughout it that's really fun, and that's like part of the charm. So these games, you know, the Super Nintendo Simpsons games probably don't get enough love, but they are head and shoulders above the NES games, especially Bart Mamie's Radioactive Man, which I'm not sure I've said much about.
What would it be like if they made a good version of that, Warren?
You know... Thank you for asking me that, Brandon. What I would say, there's a level in Bart's Nightmare where you are Bartman.
Which door was it?
It's the blue door. And to me, that is what Bartman Meets Radioactive Man could have been. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah. Back to like Virtual Bart. I really like there's a lot of fun and weird designs. You know, the level names are kind of boring, but like Dinosaur is weird. You're basically like a gal minus, but you have Bart Simpson's head and you're like whipping your tail to defeat caveman Mo Sizzlax.
That's pretty great.
Wild.
And you get to be Bart as a baby.
Yeah, that's pretty strange. I don't know that I played that one.
It's a very strange level. You also get to be Bart as a pig.
That one is really weird. It's such a strange game. It's kind of an acid trip, that game.
It really is. Like I said, the water slide is crazy. It's very fun. You know, the only real slight I will make at Virtual Bart, and this is kind of why I made that comment earlier, is it doesn't... This is like a problem with games in this era. Sometimes you don't really feel motivated to beat them.
Yeah.
Because they're non-sequential. The same kind of problem. That's the one slide I'll make for Bart's Nightmare also, because you don't have to get through a level to play another level.
Yeah.
It kind of allows you to play them all and then be like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And there's an upside to that and a downside. The upside is that you don't get as frustrated playing the game. But the downside is it doesn't really challenge you to beat the game in the same way. It feels different. Which is, you know, I'm not saying it's bad, but it is a unique situation for a video game at this time.
Yeah, it really is just a collection of mini games. Like, the mechanics and everything change from quote-unquote level to level. It's just, you know, it's almost like going to the arcade and you got 8 quarters and you put each quarter in a different video game, you know?
Right.
It's very, very arcadey, very, as they call it today, fast casual gaming. You know?
Ooh, fast casual. Is that an industry term, Brandon, in your line of work?
Okay,
it is.
Fast casual.
So that's like your, like bust a move and... You know, the fruit slicer game. I sound
really, I can't
think of
fruit
the name
ninja
of that
or something. It's
fruit
called
ninja.
Right?
There we go.
I've never played it, but I've seen it a lot. Interesting. Yes, I mean that's, you know, I think that's a good place to stop. Like I said, there's also, you know, Krusty's Funhouse on Super Nintendo. There's not really anything else to say about that, but I mean, you know, even the bad games, even, you know, all jokes aside, even Bartman Meets Radioactive Man, I have a little bit of love for, because I'm glad that they exist in a way. Yeah. Like, you know, it speaks to this weird era of not only culture, but just Simpsons mania in general. Like, there's something so perfect about the fact that they made all of these, like, mediocre games as a response to just the ravenous love for Bart Simpson. So I get enough out of that I'm happy even to have the bad ones, I think.
I mean, that should be no surprise to anybody listening. We are two guys that host a Simpsons podcast. You put Simpsons on anything and we're going to be like, you know, it's not bad.
It's not bad. Well, we haven't talked about Simpsons skateboarding or Simpsons wrestling yet, which I would argue.
Simpsons. We'll talk about that another episode.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to... I'm sure no one can tell by what I just said that if I like it or love it. So we'll cover that in another episode, right? So there we go. Those are the ones we're going to talk about today. Again, send us an email if you have thoughts about these. I would love to discuss those at the top of the next video game episode, which will probably be in a couple of weeks. We have some other things lined up in the meantime, but we will come back to this. Brandon, any closing thoughts? Anything you want to say about the games before we get out of here?
I mean, it was fun. I'm excited to play some of these, and I just want to do one more shout out for Penny's Big Breakaway.
Please
go check it out. It's on Switch, PlayStation, Xbox. If you like platformers, if you like 3D platformers, check it out. It's fun.
Yeah, like I said, go to the link in the description. I'll put a place that'll remind you to play that. I'd also like to remind you to go use the code DARKNESS over at BrandywineCoffeeRoasters.com to save 10%. Go get yourself a delicious bag of coffee. You can thank me later. You know, you might be thinking, oh, I can just go to Target and buy some coffee. That coffee sucks. Go buy good coffee from roasters like Brandywine Coffee Roasters. Don't go buy coffee that's been sitting on the shelf for 2 months. Nobody wants to drink that. That's garbage. That's for people with bad taste. And I know none of you are those people. So go do that. I'd also like to remind you to use the link in the description to go grab a signed copy of my book if you're into that. I've got a few up there in my store. And I will say whatever you want, just a reminder, you know, almost anything that you want. And so go get one of those. As for everything else, if you have any questions or comments, you can email me at simpsonsisgreat@gmail.com. If you like this podcast, consider leaving us a review on Apple or really anywhere that accepts reviews. We're not too picky. You can follow the official Instagram account at simpsonsisgreaterthan. If you're curious about me or my Simpsons collection, just search for Bart of Darkness on Instagram or Threads or anywhere on the internet. If you're curious about Brandon or birds or any of the stuff that he's into, go follow him at The Withra on Instagram, and we'll see everyone real soon.